everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with John Couch. John is engineering and producing the program, my friend, on the other side of the glass. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. Counting down this dreadful month of April. Only 10 more days to go till May 1st. It's Monday, April 20th, 2020. We're practicing safe distancing while bringing people together from the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and we piggyback with kvoi.com to get that live stream. We have got our podcast 24/7 at buckmastershow.com, the live line number 790-2040. I guess we're going to find out very soon if coronavirus is sensitive to the heat as we go towards a record-breaking near 100 degrees by the weekend. Time for our Monday political face-off featuring commentators John Munger. Mr. Munger, a well-known Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, and Republican candidate for Arizona governor back in 2010. Jeff Rogers, Jeff also a prominent Tucson attorney, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. The Monday political face-off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family owned and run since 1985. You know, during the coronavirus crisis, Mo and the team decided we're going to stay open on a one-on-one appointment only basis. In other words, folks, Mo's front door is locked. However, you can call 795-8226. You can also get that number on their website, moesgallery.com. Arrange a time to work with Mo or his lovely assistant and daughter, Corinne. No interruptions, no other customers. Mo will even arrange a drop-off at the store's front door and coordinate a virtual design session. They're located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, and I'm happy to report things are going well with the appointment-only situation. Let's go now and welcome John Munger. First of all, Mr. Munger, how are you?
Great day, Bill. Beautiful day out there.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, and Jeff Rogers is with us. Jeff, how are you?
I'm great. I'm in my office looking out on a sunny sky, and it's a beautiful day out there.
You know, outside my office in one of the geranium pots, we had been witnessing the mama quail with 10 eggs over the last, I don't know, 10 to 15 days. And sure enough, it happened on Saturday. One by one, all the little ones popped out, and they were really raring to go and jump out of the pot. But they spent one night with mom, and today, you bet, the whole brood, I guess that's what you call a quail family, they were out of the pot and they were gone. So imagine that, only one day with mama in that kind of safe, secure space, and then they're out and about, which kind of leads me to think about the reopening of America. John Munger, we'll begin with you. It seems like everything else, we're viewing this through a political lens. Republicans saying it's time to reopen America, America, and Democrats urging more caution. What do you think, John Munger?
I'm kind of in the middle. I think we should reopen when we can. I think that we need to balance the economy and safety. And I think that the governor is watching when is the right time. He's a good governor, and I'm confident that when he believes that we have adequate control over the virus and that we have adequate testing, that will reopen. I don't know when that's going to be, Bill. I think it's going to be in the next 2 weeks, but who knows? That's a decision that he needs to make. I am eager to, as all of us are, to get our restaurants open again, at least on a modified basis, so we can go and enjoy a nice restaurant. We have wonderful food in Tucson, and I know we all want to get out there and out to visit our stores. I think most people are cooperating beautifully. I was just over at Target, and everybody was trying to stay apart from each other and going about their business. It was working very well. So I'm hoping that we'll open up with a thoughtful plan.
Jeff, what do you think? Is it time to reopen America?
Well, like everyone else, I'm going a little stir-crazy. I go out to eat at restaurants at least twice a week, and I miss that a lot. And I'm worried that some of my favorite restaurants may not survive this. I mean, I'm not worried about big chains like Olive Garden and others like Ruth Chris's, but I'm worried that some of our independent restaurants may not survive this. And so I'm eager to get out there. But on the other hand, I just don't think this is a political discussion that we should be having. This should be a decision made by governors, but with the strong consultation of medical professionals. If you will recall the history of the 1918 flu epidemic, you know, in the spring of 1918, the first wave hit and it killed a lot of people. But the second wave that hit in just after summer in the fall was the biggest wave of all, and it killed the most people of all by far. And then a third wave hit in the spring of 1919, which was weaker than the other two waves. And so, you know, we don't know if this is a virus that's going to be going to take a hiatus for the summer, kind of like the flu does. Many experts are saying they don't think that it will. I'm certainly hopeful that it will. We also don't know whether or not people who have been infected and lived through it are going to be immune to being reinfected with it. There's some suggestion that might be the case. And that's part of the problem with that is the testing is so unreliable. And we're getting so few tests out in the field because the federal government is just not behaving responsibly to coordinate these matters. They need to take the bull by the horns because you can't have 50 different solutions to this testing situation and 50 different states competing for the meager supply of testing equipment and of the components of that testing equipment. So, you know, I'm concerned about all of these things, but I think this should be a medical decision made by medical professionals, and we shouldn't be, you know, having protests out there, kind of like the old Tea Party protest. And there's some evidence that the same people are behind these protests, that it's a bit of astroturfing going on by Betsy DeVos and some right-wing gun activists. So that shouldn't be going on, and the president shouldn't be encouraging that kind of behavior out there.
All right.
That's absolutely wrong of him to do that. But I'm hopeful that, you know, I'd like to be optimistic, but I think we need to be careful.
Yeah, John Munger, nobody wants to see health workers fighting with protesters, which happened, I think, in one of the states with one of these protests. But, John, go ahead. Pick up your reaction, Jeff.
I don't think we're seeing any significant fighting. I haven't heard of any protesters fighting with health workers. I did see a health worker stop and question a protester, but that's different than fighting. I think that we have a myriad of tests coming out from various companies. The tests are different. I think that the companies and the states need to get together. There's no way the president can direct so many tests to go to Arizona and so many to go to California, et cetera. That has to be handled. There have to be enough tests. The president's encouraging and doing everything he can to get the tests out from the private companies, but the government doesn't make the tests. CDC tried to make some tests and failed, so that didn't work. So the government isn't good at doing those things on a national basis. Those tests have to come out from private companies. They're getting them out as quickly as they can. I also think the therapeutics are coming out nicely, and we have several therapeutic potential solutions. They haven't been approved by the government yet. Insofar as their use with coronavirus, but they've been approved for other purposes. There's virtually no downside, for example, to using hydroxychloroquine and other drugs that are out there. They've been in use for decades. And there's a lot of anecdotal evidence out there that they work. So we do have those tests out there, and I've heard a lot of people testifying that on the television that hydroxychloroquine works and other combinations of drugs work. So that's hopeful as well. But this reopening of the states has to be done on a state-by-state basis. There's no way that the government can distinguish when some county in Arizona is ready to open versus some county in New York. That's up to the governors to determine on a basis in the states. I agree it's got to be a decision, as I said previously, it's got to be a decision that combines the interests of health, good health, with the interests of the economy. And so the governors in the various states have to rely on their health.
All right.
As well as their economic advisors.
All right. When we come back, Jeff Rogers will be first with his comments on the Monday political face-off. But I know, Jeff, I know you're a big fan of Mona's, and John's been up there, too. And they continue to do well with their trying to make do with the situation. Like a lot of our local restaurants, Mona's Danish Bakery, you can walk in right now, order your bakery goods, and depart. And you can call ahead. 579-1959. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona and the team up there, Steve, the chief baker, they're doing the best they can under these very trying circumstances. But believe me, one thing that has not changed is the quality of the food, and the bakery goods are still just as good as ever. And Mona's will be ready for you when we do have some of these restrictions dropped concerning in dining inside of the restaurant, whether it will be distancing. But something's going to be coming. I'm confident and hopeful that that will be coming very soon for our local restaurants. Again, it's monasdanishbakery.com. Jeff Rogers and John Munger are on the live line. We're doing our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They are family-owned since 1985. Moe's, located at Fort Lowell and Dodge. Call ahead for your appointment at moesgallery.com. Be right back.
Hey, it's Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
And this is Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
Matt, did you hear that Travel and Leisure magazine just ranked the Douro Valley as a top 50 spot for world travel?
Yes, so how about Portugal and Spain for my next culinary and cocktail cruise?
Let's do it on the Douro River aboard the new Amadouro ship from Ama Waterways.
I'll need a chef's table dinner, winery tours, and other private excursions.
Matt, consider it done.
Thanks, Ryan. Portugal and Spain, here we come. Go to bvtravel.com to learn more.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
During the coronavirus crisis, Vero Amore restaurants in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana are still open for takeout and home delivery.
you can still enjoy all your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza. They're all available for takeout and home delivery. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gowrie and Fine Framing, located at Fort Lowell and Dodge. You can call right now. The number available for you at moesgowrie.com. Call ahead, make your appointment with Moe, and they will get you going with all of your framing needs. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 The Voice. Jeff Rogers on the live line to my left. I think it's kind of the way it works. And John Munger to my right. Boy, I'll be so glad to get you gentlemen back in studio so I can. It's just really hard kind of moderating a little bit of a debate or a face-off over the phone, but we're trying to do the best we can. Jeff Rogers, is it safe to say, Jeff, this is going to be this November election will be a referendum on Donald Trump's handling of coronavirus?
I think that will be part of it, but I think part of it will be just be a general referendum on Donald Trump himself and his behavior and how he's behaved in office. I mean, last week he was basically tweeting and saying on live TV that he was basically had the powers of a king. One of his more sober advisors must have told him shortly thereafter that he had no such powers, because the next day he retracted all of that and said, no, it would be the governors who got to decide, as is their lawful authority to do so, when to open back up their states and economies. I think it's going to be, you know, a real referendum on Donald Trump. And this may be, you know, one of his worst failures as president. But I think there are plenty others to go alongside this as the American people decide what to do with him. There's a new poll that came out yesterday that said that something like 60% of people were worried about going back to opening up the economy too soon. And we also had 65% in that same poll say that Donald Trump did not take this seriously enough from the very beginning. And today there are news articles that now show that as early as November, U.S. intelligence agencies were warning the Israelis that this virus was coming and coming fast, and they needed to take measures. And at that very same time, Mr. Trump ignored all of that evidence, and as late as mid to late January and even in early February was dismissing the seriousness of these events. And we can see where that has led us. It has led us to become the country with more deaths total than the next four countries behind us and combined, and that we have more cases diagnosed than the next six countries combined. And that's quite a failure for America. I mean, Donald Trump has basically taken America, the great leader of the world, and turned us into a second world nation. And if we have four more years of him, we'll be living in the third world.
All right.
We just can't tolerate that anymore of Donald Trump in this case. And as John was saying, there are some promising treatments out there for this. Hydroxychloroquine is not really one of them. It was touted by Trump on minimal anecdotal evidence. And what we're really seeing, that it's kind of dangerous. But there is another one out there, an antiviral that's called remdesivir. I probably slaughtered that name.
Yeah, that one has all sorts of promise, Jeff and John.
It does, and they're using it on the worst patients, the
right.
ones that are getting real close to death,
yep.
and it's turning them around in
yep.
large numbers.
Yeah.
So,
all right, John, what about this referendum on the president?
Well, I think the president's done a fabulous job, and I think that the results show that China and Iran and several other countries have far worse results than we do. Spain certainly does. Italy does. Per capita. You've got to look at per capita and not just the U.S. We're a huge, huge country, 330 million people. You can't compare our results other than on a per capita basis with the other countries. And on a per capita basis, we're doing very, very well compared to the other countries. I think this election is, frankly, going to be a referendum more on Joe Biden than anything else. Joe Biden is completely incompetent. He can barely put a sentence together. Joe Biden was the guy that called Trump racist for doing the best thing that Trump has done, and that shut down air travel from China. And Joe Biden fought him every inch of the way. And, of course, that's because Joe Biden has got financial interests in China, as does his son. Those things are going to come out. I am confident that if it's Donald Trump against Joe Biden in the election, Donald Trump will win almost by a landslide. I'm not going to predict the number of electoral votes, but Donald Trump will win by a substantial margin. And I think that if Jeff wants to bring Joe Biden against Donald Trump, have at it.
All right. What about the conventions, Jeff Rogers? Pretty much we haven't heard much about the Dems. Could you see this going virtual and decision will have to be made pretty soon, don't you think?
I think so. And I think that's probably the safest way to do it. We need to get these other primaries out of the way, and we need to do it by vote by mail and experiment with that in other states that aren't as familiar with it as Arizona is. But we definitely need to get those primaries out of the way and get this convention on the road here. And I'm thinking virtual is as good a thing as any, especially since there's really nothing other than the platform, which is usually decided behind closed doors anyway, to do, because we've got a presumptive nominee. And so I think, but one thing John said, I do agree per capita is the way to look at this coronavirus testing. And that puts us pretty much dead last in testing per capita with the other industrialized countries of the world. The number one country is, oddly enough, is South Korea. They've done the best job per capita of any country and flattened the curve immediately. And they're actually a model. And the model was they got out and tested immediately using the test developed by the World Health Organization, which they offered to the Trump administration. And the Trump administration turned it down. And then the CDC built up a flawed test that didn't work. And that put us behind the eight ball as far as attacking this virus.
Wow. The problem with those early tests is they don't work. And Jeff is comparing per capita testing versus per capita coronavirus. And our per capita numbers on actually getting the coronavirus are way below the rest of the countries.
Our death rates are way ahead of the other countries as well, even on a per capita basis.
And we're doing on a per capita basis very well in limiting the number of coronavirus cases. You will recall, Bill, that the medical experts were saying we were going to have anywhere between 100,000 and 250,000 deaths in the United States by the time this was over. We're down around 41,000 right now. We'll probably end up with 60 or 70,000. Way below the minimum death level that our best scientists were predicting. So we've done a good job of limiting the coronavirus lethality rate and also in communicating the disease here in this country. We're doing very, very well. The numbers will show that. It's easy for the Democrats to sit around and complain. That's all they have to do. They don't have a platform. They don't have a candidate. I don't know what the Democratic Party stands for these days other than they hate Donald Trump. That's all,
right.
all I know. And if they're eventually going to have to come up with a platform, and they're going to run Joe Biden, and he's going to get his back end kicked by Donald Trump.
All right. Final word, Jeff Rogers.
Well, I think this November we're going to see a test of what an abject failure Donald Trump has been as president of this country, and we're going to send them and the Republicans packing. I think we're going to take the Senate, and Donald Trump is guaranteeing that we're going to take the Senate. Every time he opens his mouth during these briefings, we get more sound clips that are going to be turned into commercials. I mean, the things he says during these afternoon briefings, if I were an advisor to him politically, I'd just say just shut up and quit doing these, because every day you give them more to work against you with.
All right, Jeff.
Yeah, well, I will tell you that even Democratic Governors Cuomo and Democratic Governor Newsom from California are both saying that the federal government has done a fabulous job.
All right.
And those quotes will be on the air as well. We're going to use their own quotes against them.
Okay. John Munger, Jeff Rogers. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Stay safe there, okay? The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They're doing one-on-one appointments, and it's going very well. Check it out, moesgallery.com. There you'll get the number, which is 795-8226. Southwest corner, Fort Lowell and Dodge. Set up your virtual session with Mo at moesgallery.com. Will Hummel, the former state health director here in Arizona. I want to hear what Will has to say on the latest on the coronavirus right after this.
CBS News special report. For the first time in history, the price of oil is deep in negative territory. It comes as barely any buyers are willing to take delivery of oil barrels because there's no place to put the crude. Industry analyst Tom Closa.
In my career, I've seen negative prices for propane, negative prices for natural gas, and negative prices for electricity. Until today, I had never seen negative prices for crude oil.
On top of that, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says a deal will not be reached today between Congress and the Trump administration on another stimulus aid package.
It's now been 4 days since Paycheck Protection Program ran out of money. Republicans have been trying to secure more funding for this critical program for a week and a half now. At this hour, our Democratic colleagues are still prolonging their discussions with the administration.
He's arranged for the chamber to meet again tomorrow to possibly vote. CBS News Special Report, I'm Matt Piper.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
It's easy being green. Promote wind, install solar, drive electric cars, ban mining. Wait a minute! You can't ban mining! Green is good, but hey, no can do without the metals green products need from mining. If you ban mining, you'll ban everything green. And today's minds are on board, researching technologies that provide critical materials for a greener world. Being Green, another miracle from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things for all of your agriculture and horticulture related items that you need. The Green Lady Hydro Business, which is part of Green Things, trying to cater to the small home grower with ready-made hydro kits. These are easy to assemble. And you will need nutrients, and they have all the better known brands like Fox Farm and all the different soils like Roots Organic and Ocean Forest to get you going with your kind of victory over Corona gardening. Little victory garden going. Grow your own vegetables. Green Things, 3384 East River Road, beautiful 13-acre site. The website is greenthingsaz and zocalovillage.com. Will Hummel is the executive director for the Arizona Public Health Association. His 30 years in public health included more than two decades at the Arizona Department of Health Services, where he served in various capacities, including the agency director from 2009 to 2015. Most recently, he served as the health policy director at the University of Arizona from 2015 to 2017. Will continues to be very involved in health policy, and he is an adjunct professor at the University of Arizona Zuckerman College of Public Health. How are you doing, Will?
Good afternoon. Doing well. Thanks for the opportunity.
I got a huge stack of stuff in front of me, so let's get right at it. The health tracking firm, the Institute of Health Metrics and Evaluation, sharply lowered its projections of how many Arizonans it expects to die from COVID-19. At the start of last week, Will, the estimate was 1,005. It's been revised, or was revived, the latest number I saw, 267 deaths would hit Arizona. What is your take on this?
Yeah, correct. That is exactly the model that I've been following. There's a number of predictive models that are out there. The one you just described, IHME, it's out of the University of Washington. It's funded by the Gates Foundation. That's the model that has the best reputation, and that's the one I've been following. And yes, the model takes into consideration like what's happening on the ground in terms of confirmed cases, hospitalizations, et cetera. And then that IHME group also does revisions to their model periodically. And they did another revision to like the math behind the model last week. And as you described, the predictive model is looking very, very good for Arizona. One metric that you described is the reduction in total number of deaths. And the other is that it predicts that we are going to be fine with our hospital capacity and our ICU bed capacity. Because remember, a few weeks ago, everyone was kind of freaking out that, you know, we're going to be way over capacity at our hospitals. And we can see that that's not going to be the case. And the reason is because the people of Arizona have been doing the hard work of staying home and the social distancing. And it's not easy. You know, it's a struggle for everybody in various, you know, professionally and personally, but they're doing the hard work and it's paying off.
Let's talk about the overview of the hospital situation. And I know you're very much in touch with these healthcare professionals. Are you looking for a peak in the admissions within a week or so, Will Hummel?
It looks to me like well, according to the last run of the IHME model, we've already passed the peak. That was last week. So if the model run a week and a half ago showed that the peak was going to be next week, but when you look at the hospitalization trends both across the state, both Phoenix, Tucson, and the rest of the state, it looks like the peak is past us. There's still going to be hospitalizations. That's still going to be happening. There's still going to be people that end up in ICU units, and we're still going to have some additional deaths. But it looks like the worst of it, at least for this wave, is behind us now. Still hard thing. There's still going to be some additional infections and some additional bad outcomes. But I'm not looking for a spike, and the reason is because folks of Arizona have been doing such a good job staying home.
So the front lines, if you will Hummel, the strain now shifts over to the critical care settings rather than general floor beds. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's the ICU beds, that's the critical care beds, is the thing that I pay most attention to within the predictive models and also with respect to hospital capacity, because those are the people that have the more complex medical conditions. Maybe they need supplemental oxygen and telemetry, which is the, you know, hooked up to machines and that kind of stuff to monitor respiration and blood pressure and all that kind of stuff. Also, the ICU beds are the place where people, if they end up having to be on a ventilator, would be. And so super important to have plenty of ICU capacity, and we're looking very, very good in Arizona.
How would you open up Arizona, Will Hummel? What steps would you take in getting people back into some of our local restaurants? Would you perhaps limit the amount of people who could do in restaurant dining?
Yeah. So let me back up and go to the first part of your question, which is what should we be doing? The thing, if I was in charge of state government, right, what I would do this very week is to allow hospitals to begin conducting elective procedures immediately.
Yep.
The governor issued an executive order about almost a month ago now that stopped elective procedures. And by the way, elective procedures doesn't mean cosmetic surgery. It means like somebody needs their prostate out, their gallbladder needs surgery. Somebody might need a hip or a knee replacement. So elective surgeries are important in terms of quality of life and even in saving lives. And so as we now know that we've got plenty of hospital capacity and hospitals are now getting better at conserving their personal protective equipment, masks, gloves, et cetera, I would immediately open up and allow hospitals to do elective surgeries. There's a month of backlogs on those, and it's having a detrimental effect on public health. So that's the first thing. The second part of your question goes to, you know, other kinds of businesses like bars, restaurants, et cetera. I think what I would consider doing in early May, if the trends continue the way they are, is to look at a modulated way of opening bars and restaurants. And so, for example, if let's say your restaurant is one that has 50 chairs, the dining capacity is 50. Let's maybe start and maybe at 25% or even up to 50%, and then ask that facility to, you know, have some dine-in capacity, but keep people further apart and keep your capacity a little bit lower, and then move the dial up from there. So I don't think I would, you know, have an off-on switch. I think I would use a more measured approach and move that dial more gradually.
And what about haircuts and beauty salons? Could we have a situation where the operators would be wearing masks and the consumer would also have a mask? I mean, is that possible?
Yeah, so what you're talking about is mitigation measures. And
yeah.
I think that's another, it's a key component to opening up the economy. And it's a case-by-case basis. So each industry, each service sector is a little bit different. You talked about haircuts and nail salons. So there are some mitigation measures that you can take and safely open those facilities. And so you just described a good example. So on a haircut facility, for example, if both the customer and the person who does the haircuts, the barber, the cosmetologist or whatever, if they're both wearing a cloth mask and there's good hand washing facilities, and let's say you might even take the temperature of the customers to make sure they don't have a fever, as an example, those are mitigation measures that minimize the risk of spreading the virus, but also give people an opportunity to get back to work, because there is more to public health than COVID-19. Not having a job has a big impact on public health. Not being able to pay your rent has an impact on public health. And so it's important for us to get the economy back again. And one way to do it is to take mitigation measures in place, masks, gloves, taking temperatures, et cetera, at lots of different service industry jobs.
All right, Will Hummel, stick around. I've got some more to talk with you about, picking up on this indirect deaths. This piece that was in the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, the hidden toll of untreated illnesses. This was really sobering information in this article. I'm going to pick up with Will Hummel, the executive director of the Arizona Public Health Association. He's the former state director of health here in Arizona. But right now, we'll take our break. We'll be back with Will Hummel right after this.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
During the coronavirus crisis, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is open for one-on-one appointments only by calling 795-8226 to arrange a time with Moe or Corinne. No interruptions and no other customers. Moe will even arrange a drop-off at the store's front door and coordinate a virtual design session. Moe's Gallery, Fort Lowell and Dodge, 795-8226 and moesgallery.com.
During this coronavirus crisis, Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, is still open for takeout and home delivery only. You can get all of your favorite Noble Hops menu offerings. Come pick them up, or they'll bring them to you. So check out Noble Hops on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and online at NobleHopsPub.com.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buck
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. One of our great sponsors are our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Over the years, the Buckmaster Show has sent so many people over to that area to enjoy the wonderful recreation opportunities. Only a 3-hour drive from Tucson. Unfortunately, the upcoming Silver City Blues Festival, their big event of the year, the weekend of Memorial Day, has now been postponed and is going to go all online. You can watch it at silvercitybluesfestival.org. But start planning for when things open up. I know everybody's got cabin fever. I do. It's fun to dream about what you're going to do when you can finally take off again, get in the car, and do a road trip. Silver City, the planning begins at southwestnewmexico.org. We now continue with our discussion with the former Arizona State Health Director, Will Hummel. Will is now the executive director of the Arizona Public Health Association. All right, this story that really caught my eye in the weekend Wall Street Journal, the hidden toll of untreated illnesses as COVID-19 overwhelms doctors and hospitals. Will Hummel, patients with other conditions are receiving less care. And this, unfortunately, there has been a spike now in heart attack deaths, stroke deaths. This is what's going on in New York. They're seeing this spike. This is not good, Will Hummel.
Yeah, no, I agree. And what you're describing is a situation in New York. And I'm afraid that that is actually happening in Arizona as well. And it's not necessary. You know, the thing that happened in New York is, you know, their healthcare system was overwhelmed. They had far more patients than they could take care of, both in regular hospital beds and with ICU beds. And so there's a, you know, there's people that needed procedures and healthcare that weren't able to get it in New York. That same thing is happening in Arizona too, but it's an administrative problem. It's not a real problem. The reason I say that is, the people of Arizona jumped on this and did their social distancing, and they're doing the stay-at-home work. And as a result, we've got plenty of hospital capacity, but we still have an executive order in place that was signed by the governor that that limits elective procedures in hospitals. And I just, you know, I really hope that he revisits that executive order this week, because every day that goes by is another day where somebody was not able to get an important procedure that they need, that has a real impact on their quality of life and actually could be in the end life threatening. Because, you know, if there was a story, I think in the one you're describing, where a patient needed a procedure that if he had had a procedure, you know, 2 weeks ago, it would have been a minor surgery, but because he waited, the infection grew and grew, and then it became just a major life-threatening situation. And so I would really like to see us avoid those kinds of things. And, you know, in New York, they really didn't have much of a choice because they were overwhelmed. We have a choice.
This is so serious. We are going to see, I think we can say, we're going to see a big rise in non-coronavirus deaths. People afraid to go to the emergency room, thinking the emergency rooms are going to be completely overwhelmed. There was a picture in the Arizona Daily Star, our local paper, Will Hummel, on Sunday. I don't know which hospital it was, but it showed a completely empty emergency room. If someone has an emergency, call 911. Get treatment. I think you would echo what I'm saying, Will.
Oh, absolutely. And the situation you just described is what's happening all across the whole state, except for Navajo Nation. There's a special situation up there in Tuba City. But for the most part, across the entire state, there's, you know, the EDs are empty. And, you know, nurses are taking unpaid and time off, et cetera. And so the message for folks out there in Arizona is that, you know, if you've got something that you would have gone to the emergency department for before COVID, then by all means, do it now. There's plenty of capacity. And by the way, the emergency departments and the hospitals across the state have good measures in place. And so don't be afraid that you're going to walk into, you know, the emergency waiting room and end up getting infected with the virus. They've got good control measures in place. So that's not something that you need to worry about. What you should worry about is not getting care for something that needs to be addressed, because it can snowball into something much worse if you don't take care of it.
That's so true. If you think you're having a stroke or if you think you're having a heart attack, call 911 and get yourself to an emergency room. Now, another very important story that was in, again, the Wall Street Journal over the weekend, and you've probably are aware of this, Will Hummel, a study done in Santa Clara County, which an area where I used to do the news on TV up in San Jose, study finds 50 to 85 times, Will Hummel, as many infections as known cases, meaning a far lower fatality rate. The conclusion in the Santa Clara County study is, when this is all said and done, the infection rate, the fatality rate, will be somewhere in the range of 0.12% to 0.2%. Your thoughts?
Yeah. This is Dr. Bob England, who's the county health officer down there in Pima County, and I wrote an op-ed about this very issue 2 months ago, before anyone was talking about COVID-19. And what you're describing is, I saw the study, and it's very encouraging. What it shows is that there are a lot of asymptomatic cases, or people who had mild symptoms that never got tested. And the study that you refer to is what's called antibody testing. So it's not a diagnostic test with the long Q-tip up the person's nose. Instead, they take a drop of blood or a small amount of blood and look for the antibodies to COVID, to the coronavirus. And what they found is that, as you said, between 50 and 85 times the number of people that have been identified and confirmed as cases actually had the virus and have recovered. And so what that does is, and this gets a little bit into the weeds, but what it shows is that those people belong in the denominator of the case fatality ratio. And as more people are identified as having been exposed to the virus and recovered, it starts to adjust that case fatality ratio. And so what it's telling us, and this is going to be controversial if I say this, and people are going to get mad at me for saying it, but what it shows us is that in many demographic categories, this coronavirus is much like influenza. And in terms of the case fatality ratio, where it's influenza is right about the 0.1 percent, 0.2% range, as is this virus. Now, big caveat there. This virus is far more lethal for people who are 70, 80 years old, and folks with pre-existing conditions like diabetes 2, obesity, uncontrolled high blood pressure. This virus is more lethal for some demographic groups, but for other demographic groups, people without pre-existing conditions that are under 40 years old, this is about as lethal as influenza. Just something for people to keep in mind as we transition from where we are today with our social distancing measures, our limitations on the economy, to where we all want to get, which is loosening up these restrictions. And not saying this virus is just like influenza, because it's not in some of the demographic groups. As we've seen with the Santa Clara study, it suggests that for people under 40, it's about as lethal as influenza.
And as many as half the people, according to half the people that had coronavirus never even knew they had it.
Yeah, that's the Iceland study. And that, similar results, by the way, came out about 5 weeks ago on, and I think we talked about this on your show a couple weeks ago, the Princess Cruise Line data showed that 35% of the people on that Princess Cruise ship, both crew and passengers, were asymptomatic. The Iceland study shows 50%. So for many demographic groups, especially young people, millennials, people under 40 with no existing health conditions. They might have very mild symptoms or not even know that they had the virus. So that's what's so puzzling about this virus, honestly, is that, you know, for some demographic groups, it's essentially harmless, or it seems to be. And with other folks, people, you know, over 70 and folks with other health conditions like diabetes, it's so lethal. So very strange thing.
All right. Well, Hummel, we'll catch up with you here, get an update in a couple of weeks. Hopefully things will continue to get better. Thank you, Will.
All right. Take care.
Thanks a lot. Will Hummel, the former director of health for the state of Arizona. And he always has a lot of good common sense. He's up to date on all of the latest studies. And I think after listening to him for the past half hour, I think we can be pretty encouraged. I really do. And I think we can all use a little hope right about now. It's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. My thanks to John Couch, engineering and producing on the other side of the glass. All right, we have Dave Ramsey and his popular show about money. Boy, do we need to talk about money right now. Oh, my goodness. Buying oil at, what, a penny or something? I don't know. Have a great afternoon, everybody.